Mobile Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and join us this week for a discussion with Bernardo Ascoli, the Chief Executive Officer for North American Gaming and Interactive for IGT, who talks about how the merger between GTEC and IGT has been progressing. Must be something he's thinking of. The sale of IGT to GTEC was completed more than 6 months ago, and the senior executives are getting comfortable with the acquisition. Renato Ascoli was formerly a high-level executive with GTEC and has been given responsibility over the company's all-important North American and interactive markets as the company's CEO in those areas. Double Down Casino, one of IGT's most profitable assets, is also under his oversight. Ascoli talks about the cultural differences between the two companies and how they are building a truly unique corporate culture at the new IGT. He spoke with me and editor Frank Legato at G2E in October. Renato Ascoli, thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. It's great to meet you. Since this is the first time we're talking since GTEC took over IGT, congratulations on the purchase. Very exciting, this consolidation in the industry with everything that GTEC could bring to the table with IGT. I think it's putting together an incredible company, so we're glad to be able to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you to make your acquaintance today. And yes, it was quite an exciting time. Actually, looks yesterday when we were at the New York Stock Exchange ringing the bell there on April the 7th, and many things have already happened, so we are so excited about that.
Yeah, it took a while to put it together, but now it looks like the strengths of the company are really coming out. Why don't you explain basically what your strategy here is at G2E to kind of introduce the company, because this is really the first time you're exhibiting here as a team.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we actually made a couple of things, and the good thing probably is that we were well organized and prepared since day one. So we set the organization ready since April the 7th. Soon after that, we decided to have a single brand. So we felt the IGT strong brand could actually be the home for all the new products. Mm-hmm. We put up a single sales force, and that was actually ready to go since June. Mm-hmm. We trained the sales team on a single portfolio game, so the legacy IGT would know more about the GTEC part and vice versa. And that's probably the area where, as you said, the complementarity of the two companies showed to be a major opportunity. Legacy IGT will be strong in VLTs and in distributed market. IGT, of course, is stronger in casino. Mm-hmm. They're strong in casino systems. Right. They will be less into that. We had a strong presence in interactive, particularly in the central systems and in the CRM applications.
Okay.
IGT is so strong on content.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's a natural blend, if you think of it. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, what are we doing now? We actually try to build the new success story for IGT on some specific pillars. Mm-hmm. And I always remind my team, the first pillar would be customers first, mm-hmm. which is not just a motto.
Sure.
It's a day-by-day attitude. Mm-hmm. And we think we began doing that with a very important process that legacy IGT had in place, which is called CAB, which is the Customer Advisory Board. So we listen a lot to our customers. Okay. We have a huge amount of R&D to spend, over $300 million. Mm-hmm. So all boils down to focus and get the right things first. Mm-hmm. So not knowing much about what our customers are asking us today, we ask them to tell us what was wrong or what should be redirected. Mm-hmm. And in June, back in June, more than 40 customers actually were very clear and open to us in indicating what we should or should not do anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for them. The second item, I think, is players' voice. Mm-hmm. So this is probably the area where my team, let's say the legacy GTEC, is probably bringing more knowledge in terms of operating into a B2C ecosystem. Okay. I personally have been managing B2C operations throughout my life, so I did spend a lot in terms of research and testing, and we are introducing this discipline in the, let's say, IGT world as well. Mm-hmm. We would never, let's say, send out a product to the market without a thorough testing in field before doing that. And we would definitely take the decision to recall a product from a testing phase in the field if the product would not perform to a certain level.
Okay.
So this is something we are strongly focusing on.
So you don't necessarily do focus groups. You put it out in the casino and just see how it performs in a live situation.
Exactly. We have a number of friendly casinos, put it this way,
sure.
that actually decided and elected to adhere to this program. Mm-hmm. So we usually position these things in these boxes for at least 90 days.
Okay.
We usually take the last 30 days to be the most reliable performance on the game.
Right.
As you know, sometimes you get a very nice...
People jump on the machine.
Yeah, it's a novelty, right? Novelty grabs attention. But it takes some more time to assess whether the product is really working.
Okay.
And so we take the last 30 days out of 90 days to be the key indicator of the performance relative to the average performance of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a way to classify a product by A, B, C, D, E, and we would never allow a product that would not reach a B level to hit the market later on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think this is probably, say, excruciating for our studios, probably a bit more hard on them, but in the end, this is a way to drive excellence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not simple work. This is a really, as I said, discipline.
Right. I'd like to ask about kind of the merger of technologies here. G-Tech itself was the product of a merger of several different former platforms that were all very successful, from Atronic to Spilo. And now you bring all that into the IGT. Can you tell us about how you're merging these various slot platforms that were already successful and how they're going to survive?
Sure, actually. No, we are picking up the best of the two companies, as I said. And clearly, given the natural complementarity of the platforms, there's not a lot to choose from. So there haven't been too many Sophie's choice, let's put it this way.
Right.
As I said, being there so strong in casino and are so strong in VLTs, being there so strong in contents in interactive space and us more focusing on CRM, kind of a blend. They were strong in social. We have sports betting to bring in. So it's a natural blend, not easy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So we are also taking some pure technology solutions. So we decided to develop on HTML5 on all interactive devices, so not only internet, PC, mobile, but smartphone as well.
Okay.
But those decisions are now dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
We had to take some action. So for instance, we are consolidating all the manufacturing capacities in Reno, as you probably know. We consolidated all the field services into one, organization.
Mm-hmm.
We felt that the legacy IGT was not as good in delivering good central system solution, so we are taking the legacy G-Tech groups that are more, let's say, we think, capable of doing that, just because they've been exposed to a much more sophisticated customer, which is usually a lottery.
Right.
So lottery usually provide you a set of KPIs that are, let's say, of a different nature compared to any casino. So we are using those people, well-trained, let's say, Tiger team, and we are going to use them to deliver systems to our customers in the gaming business.
Okay. What kind of reaction have you gotten from your customers to these changes that are going through the company right now?
Well, I usually like to, underestimate. So I like to be a bit cautious in that.
Yeah,
I like to be conservative. So I think that but it would be fair to say that, particularly after the cap, our customer realized that we're open to listen and we are open to suggestions in any matter. So be it, let's say, something strategic, such as they were actually suggesting to use the same platform, the same technology, or even, let's say, trivial things.
Mm-hmm.
They ask us very vocally to introduce a station charge for smartphones on the boxes, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but once again, I feel that we have gained some confidence, that we are getting some positive momentum in the market nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking at us as as a, say, a group of people that are willing to innovate, even correct errors. Mm-hmm. And probably this is probably the thing that is coming across. We are not afraid to admit we may make mistakes. And because I think we learn from mistakes, we think this could be an advantage. So this is what I'm trying to tell the team inside. Okay. Clearly, Legacy IGT had some problems with the market share.
Sure.
They suffer.
Yes.
So I'm asking all the team not to be dismissive of this fact, but to go deep into the root cause of that and try to do some changes. Mm-hmm. But again, if I were to tell you after this first half day of G2E, and I would better say after a number of weeks of previews in our offices, I think yes, we are getting some positive feedbacks.
Okay. One of the things that interests me about the mergers of these companies is that not only are you merging different types of gaming, you're also merging different cultures. You and Marco Sala are Italians, coming to the U.S., and you're based in London, correct? So,
well, I was raised in Boston until a few months ago, then I moved to Las Vegas.
Okay.
I'm now based in
Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Okay,
yes,
great.
My family moved during summer, so my daughter is just adjusting to a new school. So
and the heat.
That's something that coming from Boston is something you can easily adjust to. So that's
you won't have to adjust to the snow that you got last winter. That's for sure.
I would never be able to adjust to that. Not anymore. No, you're right. There are many challenges and. As you say, not just the language that different people speak. So we need to bring Chinese with Taiwanese, and Australians, and Europeans. Mm-hmm. And I can probably say that even Americans and English are truly two peoples divided by the same language sometimes. And so it takes a lot of coming them together. Mm-hmm. But there's also, different experiences in the company. So. For instance, I'm bringing in the B2C experience, mm-hmm. which is good,
right.
But you need to be aware of B2B mm-hmm. customer. This is something new to me as well. So I'm trying to learn from the legacy IGT team, and I'm trying to bring something new, potentially.
Now, is there a new kind of energy about, things like applying the true 3D to Wheel of Fortune, to IGT titles, and merging those technologies. I would imagine there's kind of a new excitement, a new energy in the R&D area.
Definitely. We identified a couple of things we desperately wanted to deliver to the market today, and I'm glad we could do it successfully. One is exactly what you're referring to, which is the leader in the market for years, which is Wheel of Fortune, on the technology that proved to be successful in the marketplace, which is 3D with Sphinx. And so G2E gave the birth of the first Wheel of Fortune on a 3D technology. But even more than that, I think that probably the quintessence of the company coming together is probably the on-premises solution that we offer. They, by the way, won an award recently. And that solution that we are about to, market by the end of this year on MGM premises is offering the opportunity to players sitting on a bar, on a restaurant, or sunbathing in any time of the year here to place a bet or to play a casino game on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. So if you think of it, that solution is bringing together the interactive technology that we are bringing as GTech with the mobile technology that we brought with the recently acquired Probability company, a UK company, with our sports betting capabilities that we developed starting from Italy, combined with the distribution of casino games and connected to the central system, which is the legacy IGT true capacity. So doing this is not easy, but this is what we decided to do, just to demonstrate to the market there could be value in bringing these different multifaceted parts of the company together. And if I were to judge from the comment that I received so far, this is very encouraging. I see a number of customers that are willing to go down the path.
And at least leads right into serving the millennial generation, doesn't it?
I think so, definitely, because actually it's a way to let them try the opportunity to place a bet on sports betting, or to say enjoy a slot machine in an environment that is more friendly to them. Probably it's too hard to think to take a millennial and have him or her sit in front of a slot machine. But if you start, let's say, enticing him or her with the opportunity to do it on a mobile phone, probably is a way to start, I would say, educating them into it.
Right. So how does this was one of the things that the last administration did here was the acquisition of DoubleDown. People were thought that was crazy to begin with, but it's really become a success. Is this on-premise thing using some of the DoubleDown things that you've learned from them?
Yes, we do. Actually, we see two opportunities in two separate ways. Mm-hmm. So DoubleDown recent success is actually strongly dependent upon the quality of the games that were taken from the land-based operations onto the social gaming space. But now we're doing something, let's say, on the opposite side. So we are taking successful games developed for the interactive market or for the social market, and we are sending back to a land base. Nowadays, we are showing here at G2E, out of new 50 games in the core system, which is the area probably that all our customers at the CAP were very anxious to see some innovation. We actually chose two titles from the internet space, and we chose the most performing. And this is so reassuring for them, if you think of it. So if you are an operator and you're about to invest your capex on a new machine, if you are allowed to see the track record of a content on a similar environment, which is the interactive space, it's a way to say reduce the risk of making mistakes. And we want to stand in their shoes. So we want them to make as much as possible, let's say, conscious decision anytime.
Now, I know we're just half a day into G2E, but what's getting a lot of interest out there on the floor? What products that you're displaying is really drawing the attention?
There's one product that stands out, which is the new Spin Farmer. It's a tournament solution.
That is fantastic.
Do you have the chance to
That's
see
fantastic,
it? So
yeah.
I'm really surprised by the way it is being received by players and, of course, sophisticated players, as I must assume operators could be. And I clearly realize that what stands out is the capacity to switch from coin into tournament mode. So from the operator standpoint, you don't need to invest money and capex for a tournament only solution. You can be flexible into that. There's a multi-site capacity delivered, and again, apparently the player, the pure player experience that forces you to use both hands and not just continue banging on a button provides a higher degree of excitement.
You seem to have loaded up on the interactive stuff that
you
can increase your score. It's just
and
a
I would
lot of fun.
Yeah, and I would probably say the other thing that stands out is very hot at the moment is 3D. 3D overall is really performing well beyond our, let's say, best expectations. And so this is why we wanted to show here a wide lineup of products that I hope will be as successful as the first ones, Sphinx 3D.
Now, how have the customers reacted to your synchronized light show? Is it Sync Station? Is that what it's
called? Sync Station. That's what it is. They like it. It's exciting. I do not think this is a game changer. This is my humble view. Please do not report it to the developers who did that. But it's a nice to have. I mean, it's a way to make, let's say, life in a casino a bit more exciting and lifeful. So it is a nice add-on. That's how I would position it.
We know the regulations really just passed a couple of weeks ago for skill games. You're still working your way, everybody's working their way on how that's going to impact the industry. Do you have any plans that you can talk about that IGT is working on at this point?
Yes, of course. So, this is one of the areas where the legacy IGT actually is bringing a lot of value, because they actually mastered this area in the past. Of course, following today's regulation that allows skill components to be located into the bonus features.
Right.
And as you probably had a chance, you can see our new product, which is called, I think, Texas T Pinball, that actually introduces a very funny, I would say, and nice pinball solution that we may use in other games. As for the rest, we are watching closely how the regulation evolves, and we are more than ready to introduce more, say, skill-based content into the core game, should our customer confirm this is what they like. So again, we will be working closely with the regulator and our customers in for understanding what is their real desire, what is their big ask.
Okay.
And given the fact we have some experience into that, I think we can provide some solid solutions.
It would seem to me that would be a perfect perfect addition to what you're doing with the new mobile system at MGM.
Absolutely. It will be more natural. And again, you were talking about millennials before. I think that might be a way to, say, capture millennials' attention. They usually like some, features that probably a standard, casino player would not like that much. So they like leaderboards, for instance. They always want to know where do they stand compared to someone. They want to be and to appear into a top 10 list, whatever the nature of top 10 list look like. They want to, be in control of the game. So they want to tweak and change the color, the functionality. So we need to provide this kind of thing. And of course, they like the skill component.
Sure.
So they like it. So we need to start from there, I think, if we want to introduce fresh blood into our business.
AGM came out with a study last month about the payback percentage versus the games themselves. There's this ongoing conflict between the manufacturers and the operators on why is slot revenue not as high as it once was. Obviously, you've got to play nice with your customers, but is there some kind of middle ground where you can meet here, where the players can get the fun out of your game that they're supposed to be able to get to the bonus round and things of that nature, rather than the slot operators putting a high payback percentage on it or a high hold percentage for that.
Look, this is very much leads us back to understanding players' behavior and players' attitude. Here I'm bringing my personal experience, so this is, want to assume that what I'm saying is totally true, and particularly true in this area. But other than the pure payout, which is the amount of money you give back to players, is the distribution of the payout that sometimes is even more important.
Right.
So this leads you to understanding what is the right pulse of a game, the rhythm by which you reward the player by giving them money.
Right.
Because there's no, single answer for all purposes. Mm-hmm. So some machines, some players actually, I think, more, focus on the high price. So they want to win big, and so they are prepared psychologically to a very reduced rhythm in the pay. But some others do not. So I think that if I were to manage an operation, I would probably choose a proper variety of games and solutions. But I would also try to indicate to my players what kind of expectation they can get from each and every box they have in front of them.
Okay.
So, and if you are fair enough, and if you are transparent enough in making the right promises to your players, then you probably can gain not only, more money, and so gain more money, but also you gain respect from players, which is probably even more important going forward.
How much of it is the operator's decision on which of the incredible variety of game styles that you offer? I mean, they can pick high denomination, low hold games. They can pick the low denomination, high hold games. They seem to be picking the latter. How much of it is up to the operator, and how much can you influence that?
I can answer this question because we discussed this at the CAP with our friendly operators. I think that they do receive an overwhelming variety of pay tables mm-hmm. connected to single machines. But they desperately need suggestion and recommendation from us mm-hmm. in order to understand what kind of pay table works better mm-hmm. with specific targets. Mm-hmm. And as you know, selling a machine in Las Vegas or in the street is different from selling to a national casino. West and East may have mm-hmm. different subtleties. If you take a worldwide view, probably Europe is different from Latin, sure. and Far East is definitely right. a different place. So, again, what I perceive is that regardless the huge amount of opportunities to choose from, operators have in front of them, because of the many opportunities, they get confused. Mm-hmm. And they are asking us to share numbers, to share feedback, to share performance indicator, so to allow them to make, once again, a conscious decision. Mm-hmm. That's another area where I think that other than, let's say, cross-fertilizing customers and offering them the opportunity to share performance indicators, the interactive space or the social space can provide a big hint. Because you can actually test it
sure.
before making the decision. Mm-hmm. Or you can even continue testing right. as you have machines on the floor, and then you can adjust going mm-hmm. forward. But again, operating in the interactive space, from my experience, is a major source of information.
Yeah.
And by the way, information that you get very easily, very rapidly, and consistently too.
Right. Well, we don't want to take up a lot of your time. I see a lot of customers out there that you should be talking to
instead
of
enough.
Us. But thanks for the time, and please let's stay in touch, because we certainly want to continue this discussion and continue to watch the growth of the new IGT, because it's always been, you know, one of our favorite subjects, because there's been some really dynamic people at the head of this company, and I see we've got another one here, so thank you.
You are very kind. More than happy to do that anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. If you want to read more about this issue or any issue in the gaming industry, read our magazine, GGB Magazine, or visit ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the gaming industry, subscribe to GGB News. For more information, visit ggbnews.com. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.